This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banke. I'm going to be your host today, and we are coming to you from our new studio, which is only half set up. So if you're watching this video, you get to see a partially set up studio, which is really exciting. And we've got, again, some of the usual suspects. We got Bobby and Becky. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Yes. And Veronique.
Hello, hello.
Yes. You were saying something earlier about how you were fired up and you didn't have mercy today, so this is going to be an interesting podcast.
Yeah, it could be a little driver driven.
I am cool with that.
Hey, and if you don't know what driver, like what we're talking about right now, definitely go to kingdomlearning.life and join in one of our core identity relationships courses. We're also going to be hosting that live here.
Guys,
it's coming up.
Changed my life. That changed my life. I just have to say, core identity thing.
So, press pause, go register for that, and then come back and hit play.
Yes.
Because you're going to need to listen to what we have to say, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So we're assuming that you just hit play because you hit pause and you went and bought that. So if you did,
welcome
good job.
Back. Good job.
Appreciate that. If you are hearing this in like the podcast platform and you're wondering why we always talk about being in a studio, you can actually watch these episodes. You can go over to kingdomlearning.life and click the EM Radio, Eagle Mountain Radio button. And you can see these. They're also on the YouTube channel. They're also streamed to Facebook. So you don't really have an excuse. If you haven't seen this, you need to check that out.
That's
and
right.
Subscribe. Like to always subscribe. So we were talking about in the pre-show just something that has become more and more common where, you know what? I don't know if it's been more common. Maybe it's always been this way. But I am recognizing it more. Hmm. And that is people kind of running up against something difficult in their life, and then that's uncomfortable, right? And then saying, well, this uncomfortableness must be indicating that I'm in the wrong spot. So we thought, you know, for this topic, you know, for this episode, we would dig into that a little bit, because I think sometimes we are in the wrong spot, and often when that's the case, it's difficult. But I think a lot of times when we're in the right spot, it's the most difficult sometimes in certain ways. So I guess let's just kick this off by, what do you guys think about that? Veronique has some thoughts. They were all coming out earlier before the camera was rolling, so.
I do. I just don't know if I should jump straight on in.
I say jump straight on in. They've had time to warm up. They've registered for the Core Identity Workshop. They're ready to hear what you've got to say.
Okay, here's the bottom line. Change lies on the other side of struggle. Look at a butterfly coming out of its cocoon. If you help the butterfly, it will never fly. You will literally sentence it to a life of walking around and not flying in the destiny that it was created to fly in.
Wow.
Change lies on the other side of struggle. And I don't know what it is as Christians. We find struggle to be offensive.
Yeah.
I was in my workout this morning.
Why do we do that?
Why do we do that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I was in my workout this morning and kind of that moment in the workout where it's just so hard and the instructor, you know, gives the, come on guys, just one more push. You want what's on the other side of what you're feeling now. And I did want to smack them. No lies.
<That's>
But
right.
At the same time, I'm like, yes, that's the change I'm looking for. I've got to push through the pain. And we can apply that to our everyday situation. And most importantly, we can apply that to our relationship with the Lord and the destiny that He's called each and every one of us to. Because our struggle is real.
Yeah.
It hurts sometimes.
Yep.
Sometimes those emotional muscles are burning like you're going to want to give up any second. But if you stop now, you lose the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, feelings. You know, if we are operating out of emotion and out of feeling and we're making decisions that are based out of feeling, then we've already made a wrong turn.
Yeah.
I can feel really bad about doing something. I can feel like it's really hard. I can feel like I've hit every single wall. But if God has put that desire or that whatever I'm doing, if he's put that in my heart, or if maybe I didn't even hear a word from God, but I know this is the right direction and I'm following this direction. If I go on feelings, I'm going to get out way too soon. It's not about feeling. It's about the truth of God. Mm-hmm. It's not even our own truth, what we define as our truth. It is about what we know we are to do and how we are to learn through that, how to grow closer to God, and how to see him in all of his nature and character. And we can have feelings. I can say, you know, on every single day, God, I don't like this. It hurts. It is too hard for me. I am not happy with this. But God, you have a path. You have a plan. And you have a purpose to use this in my life. Please let this be all it is intended to be, this hardship, this feeling like it's weird. Let it work inside of me, everything it needs to work in me to be the person, like the butterfly, mm-hmm. to become who I am to become, mm-hmm. and to benefit. It's not for us alone. Yeah. It is for every person that God has and desires for us to touch. And whatever shape, form, and capacity that looks like, it is not just, I can't get all narcissistic either. I've got to see that my pain in this moment is for the purpose of me growing and benefiting, but it's also for those that are going to be touched in whatever shape that looks like. Mm-hmm. And it might be that I hurt them. Yeah. Guess what? They get a better look at Jesus and go, oh, I need Jesus, just like she needs Jesus right now.
I like that.
That's true.
I think that we can do a disservice to our faith and our gifts, which are supernatural. They're actually called to make us supernatural. And anytime we limit what we're called to do to what we can do, it's probably not where the Lord wants us to be. Mm-hmm. So in other words, every part of our calling is meant to be supernatural. And it's meant to push us beyond our natural gifts. And if I'm limited to what my savvy can do for me, that I'm not walking in the supernatural. And so what does that mean? Well, my question to the butterfly is, when did it get inside your head that you could even fly? You were nothing inside that. You were a blob.
Nasty little worm.
Yeah.
Inside. And so when did it enter into you? That's the possibility side of the supernatural.
Yeah,
there's a transformation that takes place that says, this little thing was not meant to walk.
Yeah.
I was meant to fly. Mm-hmm. I was meant to be beautiful in color. And so my thought is we have to live in a place and in such a way that pushes us beyond the natural man. And there's nothing like the tension that living in the supernatural creates to the natural man. And if I'm constantly running from that with some realm of pseudo faith that says, nope, my God doesn't allow tension. Mm-hmm. Everything, if it's anointed, it's got to be hunky-dory. He's going to provide. The red carpet's just going to roll out wherever I go. Doors are going to automatically open. It's amazing how that happens kind of thing. And if you live that way, then you will not develop the supernatural ability of what it takes to fly. Mm. You will limit yourself to the natural, and that, I think, is why we're discussing it.
You know what's weird is, where did we get that idea?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, obviously, we got it from the enemy, because it's ridiculous. It's not, you don't find that in Scripture. You find the opposite of that.
Right, but how many people, you know, were, when you hear about salvation, you hear about Jesus takes it all away. Right? You know, so could it be, not always, but could it be in the way that we communicate that what that definition is? And
really
we
good.
Might be going with the right heart and about how Jesus takes away the sin of the world, but the definition isn't clarified. Mm-hmm. The expectation isn't clarified as to what that means. And so, like Rick Joyner says, we are drawn to the cruise ship that we think that we've signed up for, and then we walk up to it, it's a battleship.
I know, right?
And then it's like, wait, hold on a minute. This isn't what I thought it would be. You know, Christianity is definitely not a cruise ship. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Totally.
But it's so worth it.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I think it's real easy to kind of slip into this idea that, the truth is that God wants the best for us. And then it's easy to kind of put a definition on that isn't his definition, it's our definition. Mm-hmm. And start to define what the best for us is under our own understanding. And we're us, so we often think we have a pretty good idea of what's best for us.
Right.
And, but you know what? So do our children when they're five. Mm-hmm. And how often are they right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's true for us too. How often are we actually right about what's best for us when we think we know?
Right.
And it's not, unfortunately, it's probably not that often. We really just don't have the purview that God has to really know a lot of the time.
Right. I'm looking up scripture right now, and I'm thinking about all of the different, first off, all the different disciples. You know, they were transfixed by the Lord, by Jesus. But do you know how each one of them died? You know, it was not pretty.
A martyr's death.
Yeah.
The light at the end of the tunnel for them was definitely a freight train.
Totally. Exactly. And then I'm thinking.
Except one, right?
Except one.
Yeah.
But he was in prison.
Right.
Still not a fun day.
No. Not a fun day.
No, not at all.
No.
Death,
not
stretching there.
Not comfort.
No.
No comfort. But Moses, you know, think about how Moses, was... he had a call, and he had a heart for his people. Mm. And so here he goes, wanting to say, and he's saying yes to the Lord, but he's trepidatious about it. He's
not a fan of it.
He's not a fan of it. But, you know, in Hebrews, it talks about by faith.
Yeah.
You know, so I think in this component of conversation, it's important to mention faith. You know,
mm-hmm.
Faith does not mean that you're going to know everything ahead of time. Faith doesn't
That's
mean
really
that
good.
You're going to be made aware of, hey, by the way, you're going to go and people are going to betray you. And, you know, you're going to end up sick for a little bit. And then you're going to, you know, none of that. Faith is you're walking off a map.
Yeah.
That hasn't been revealed to you. You're
you
walking off your map into the Lord's map.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith, this is what hit me today. Just reading this, it says, by faith, he endured the hardship. He preferred to endure the hardship of the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he considered the reproach of Christ to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt.
Mm.
For he looked ahead to the reward promised
That's
by God.
That's perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, just if he was, you know, and again, trepidatious, but that's what he looked forward to. So what are we doing? And why are we doing it,
mm-hmm.
I think, is pivotal to keeping us in the game.
Yeah. I think it's key to understand, and I know there's probably people out there who are listening or watching this who are sort of like me, and you want to do warfare well. In other words, if it's the devil, I'm not letting you in. If God, you're causing this butterfly to learn to fly, I'm skeptical. We'll talk. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's really got to be God if I'm going to go through anything. Like your slogan, like me, is no pain, no pain. And so if that's your slogan, then you've got to understand when it's the devil and wage a good warfare. Yeah. But when it's God and you find yourself fighting with God, Psalm 32 says, when the hand of the Lord was heavy on me. And David, he said, my bones begin to wax old, and then I repented. He had some sin in his life. He had some bad mistakes that he was doing. But the hand of the Lord came upon him. And you've got to know when it's the devil and when the heaviness might be the hand of the Lord trying to bring something so that you don't find yourself fighting against God. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that is trust, right? Because you've got to trust that God is for you first and foremost. If you don't trust that God is for you, you will fight every bit of heaviness, including the hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Behold the kindness and severity of God.
Absolutely. Right. Romans 4 is behold. Don't you know the kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But Romans 11 says, but behold the kindness and the severity of God. So there's things that God does allow, like in Jesus's life, where we carry our cross, Luke 9:23, and we follow the Lord.
The thing that strikes me is Moses, you know, his upbringing, obviously all the children were slaughtered. He was saved, taken into the palace. There was a clear and definitive line drawn. This guy is the guy, right? And then he questions with the Lord so many times. I think you got the wrong guy. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Exactly.
And then he disqualifies himself so many times.
Yep.
You know, I can't speak properly. He spent so many years in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And before he even brought God's people out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And then so many years after, right? And then I look at Jesus' life and he grew up a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Like before his... Like for Moses, the thing that he did for the people was bring them out of Egypt. They went into the wilderness, but he was well prepared. Why? Because he had spent so many years in the wilderness. He knew the conditions. He was like perfectly equipped. Did he want it? No. Did he like it? No. But he kept going up the mountain. He kept seeking the face of the Lord. And same thing with Jesus. He was a carpenter before they actually crucified him on a cross. Like the thing that... In my mind, you know, that nail, the hammer hitting the nail, that was his upbringing.
Yeah.
And that was the sound of his death. And he knew that, you know.
He did.
Every single day he went and he did what he had to do. He knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. And he chose it anyway.
Wow.
That to me is like, if I'm going to have anyone I can look up to through the hardships of life, it's that. That's why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was like, God, I want your will. If you want to take this cup from me, but your will be done. Why?
Yeah.
Because he knew this is it, you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't afraid. He was afraid. That's why he was sweating big globs of blood and sweat and tears. That's why he was in prayer. He wasn't afraid as in like he was going to walk away. He was courageous and he was bold and he pushed through and became our eternal savior. What if God has something so big for us that we had no clue? We didn't see it coming at all. And all our struggles will set generations below us, like to come free from something that they will never have to turmoil, like struggle and have that turmoil in.
Yeah.
It came from us. We broke it. Maybe that's what our inheritance is for our families. We have no idea what's coming. But I do know, I feel like, come on, people. It's time. It's time to suck it up. It's time to fight. It's time to recognize, no, I'm not sitting on the sidelines anymore. No, I'm not standing there and wanting to cower away or wanting to say, God, I think you've got the wrong guy. No, he has your name. He's got your number. He's calling on you. Now, engage. It's time to engage.
Yeah. Wow. Fire.
Yes.
That's good.
Amen.
I love that
driver
awesome.
Action.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I love that we're talking about Moses, and I think it's so appropriate. And I think let's just get practical for a second. Okay. So, because I think some people might be listening to this and like, yeah, do tough stuff. Yeah, rock on. Let's do tough stuff. Okay. Let's just look at your life for a second. Okay. So here's the thing. All the time, I think people are confronted with this, and I hear this all the time. Man, I am not equipped. I need more training. I think this is doesn't fit my skill set. You've got the wrong person. Whatever it is, it's a mismatch. I've got a mismatch. And so, since there's a mismatch, I really need to pivot into something else. This is not what God's called me to do, because obviously, as the creator of the universe, he wouldn't put me in a place that's a mismatch with who I am. He doesn't make mistakes, right? Very easy to back into this. But let's go back to Moses. So, like you said, Veronique, everything is perfect. The stars are all aligned for this guy. You don't grow up in Pharaoh's house as a prince unless there's some divine situation happening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Typically.
Right.
So all of this happens, and he finds himself in front of a burning bush. And God says, okay, here's the plan. You're going to go to Egypt. You're going to look Pharaoh in the eye, and you're going to say, we're out of here. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And he just comes up with every excuse he possibly can. No, I can't. I'm not a good speaker. I've done this. I'm not qualified. I can't do this. And God did not go, you know what? Like we were talking about earlier. I did. I was thinking of the other Moses. You're right. You can go back to hang out with your sheep and your cattle and just, it's cool. I'm going to get the other Moses. He didn't say that at all. In fact, he didn't even let him off the hook at all.
No.
What he did do is he said, sorry, you're the guy. Tough, deal with it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to help you. I'm going to hook you. Here's some tips. I'm going to give you Aaron. I'm going to equip you. So I'm going to empower you with the tools you need. But you do not get out of the job at all.
Mm-hmm.
Did the job get easier when God said that?
No.
Did the job change? No.
No.
Did he feel like he was the wrong guy? Yeah, he really felt like he was the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. And God didn't let him off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many times are we in this life sitting there going, you got the wrong guy. I think you needed Becky for that because she's actually the right guy for that.
Yeah.
I'm the wrong guy. She's the right guy. No. No.
Come on.
Nope. But this is hard news.
Yeah.
Because how many times have we avoided exactly what God has set us out for, created us for, put us on a path for, lined the streets, had us floating in a basket down the river, put us in Pharaoh's house, everything set up, and then we're like, actually, you got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And I think we need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Can we even just talk about what if, you know, the Bible says that we knew him, he fashioned us and he knew us before we were born, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if the Lord was like, okay, Chris, you're going to come into this earth and you're going to be born into this family and you're going to live this life and here's the destiny and the plan I have for you. And you're like, awesome. And then you're born into the family. You're doing the things. What if by us now saying, oh man, that's too hard. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can do that. Mm-hmm. What if while we say that, and as we're saying that, we're actually now breaking an agreement we had with God mm-hmm. of what his plan and his mm-hmm. purpose. And now instead of us going, well, it just doesn't feel right. And I don't think this is a good fit for me.
I'm not ready.
Yeah, we're actually saying, God, your idea for my life is not good. And I think I have a better plan and a better way of living. And so I'm going to disavow my agreement with you.
Yeah, we're saying a couple things. We're saying, I know a better way.
Yeah.
And we're also saying, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, that's blasphemous, really.
Who else said that? Who in the Bible else said? Yeah. I could be like the Most High God.
Right. That's right.
Right? And then consider this too. You think about hardship. What of all the martyrs? Mm. What about, think about and consider in the same scenario I just painted, what if all the babies, and we've recently had a conversation with a couple on this, and so this is sparking in me. Mm. What if all the babies that have been aborted heard that plan before they were being birthed in the womb and fashioned in the womb, and they heard the plan, and God's plan was, listen, I'm going to birth you into this womb. And this is your mom and this is your dad. But they're going to kill you.
Hmm.
They're going to murder you before you can be born. But your life in the plan and purpose and destiny you have is that this will not be, your blood will not be without recompense.
Hmm.
There will be, you will be a martyr. But there will be a salvation coming in that bloodline from now on because of the agreement you've made to do this. What if that's the agreement they made?
Hmm.
Now, I'm not saying I agree with abortion, okay? So let's not get all on our little high horses, and I'm not trying to create doctrine here. But what if the fulfillment of their martyrdom was for a plan and purpose? And what if they said, no, I'm not going to do that? Okay. Now, I want every child born. All right. But ponder with me for a moment, if you can, the hardship on them that they have to endure. And look at your own life.
Mm.
And I'm not trying to compare in a bad or weird way, but what we determine and define as hardship, is that truly the way that the Lord sees it? Or is there another perspective that we can now begin to take by asking him, Lord, is this, what does this look like? We talked about Moses, and we said Moses has, he was like, I don't think I'm the right guy. I don't speak well, la, 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 la. But what was said of him in Hebrews, even with the crossing of the Red Sea, even with leaving Egypt, was that he was unafraid of the king and the wrath of the king to leave Egypt. He was by faith. So, you know, maybe it comes down to a little bit of this too, and maybe we can consider this, as you're listening and you're thinking through this. God, what does my faith need to look like? So that my feelings don't rule over your plan and your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So by faith, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Mm-hmm. And you read through the chapter and you see all the difficulty that people were supernaturally empowered to overcome. And a lot of them went through it. But I think that there's provision for... let's take Peter's life for a second. Peter was locked in prison, and God said, that doesn't work for me. And he sent angels to let Peter out of prison. And so that's God's provision. He's going to show up, and he's going to not let Peter suffer a long term in prison. He's going to send an angel to get him out. So Peter gets to know that saving power of God. You are for me. You will deliver me out of this. It's the cry of David. I sought the Lord and he delivered me out of all of my fears. And then there's those moments where Jesus is talking to Peter face to face. And he says, Peter, Satan has desired to work you, baby.
Mm.
To sift you as wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for you, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I was talking to Jesus, I would say, if you know this in advance, why can't you head it off? I've seen you do that for me before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you break into my prison. I've seen you break into my oppression and literally get an angel to get these bands off of me and get me out of spiritual and physical prison. Why, if you know that Satan desires to sift me as wheat, can't you head it off at the pass? And he says, Peter, when you've returned, strengthen the brethren. In other words, mm-hmm. what you're about to learn through this hardship, I am going to keep you in such a way where it will equal not just for you strengthening, but what you learn, you will give to other people. So my paraphrase, Peter, take good notes. You're going through it. So I have shown you my delivering power in the jail cell. Now I'm going to show you my keeping power. It's something you don't know yet. You want me to deliver you every time. And I am that God, but I'm also the God who keeps you. Let's go through this together.
Yeah, that's so good. That saying, experience is what happens when what you planned fails. And I look at that and I think of all the things that we're saying. you know, we're thinking, okay, God, you have my yes. I can give you my yes, with the mindset that everything's going to be hunky-dory, that it's not going to be stretching, that it's not going to be maybe my mother-in-law, I love it. She has this, she tells me this, and this is the picture that I get in my head. She goes, the Lord at one point worked her over so much that she felt like her back was a piece of leather that he was sharpening his tools on.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, that is such a great image.
Wow. It is.
But it also shows like, oh my word, you know, you wonder how much more of this can I take? Yeah. How much more of this can I take? And I think a lot of people are feeling that right now. Yeah. We're seeing that across the world with suicides and with divorces and family breaking. So many people, they feel like they're at their limit. And I have this to say, you are not alone. The Lord of all creation has a plan and a purpose for you. And if you need to connect with someone so that this gold can be pulled out of you, so that you can have eyes to see clearer, mm-hmm. then please connect. Our information is online. Please reach out. We don't want anyone to walk away feeling like, wow, I'm not equipped and I'm just done. Because it's so not what we're here saying. We know that it's hard. What we're saying is, you can do this. You can do this. You need people. I love that God sent Aaron to Moses because Aaron was really not that great. Moses goes up the mountain.
I'm going to give you some help. That's not that great.
He comes back down and there's like this golden cow. And Aaron's like, we popped it in the fire.
And this is what happened.
And out popped this golden calf. I'm like, Aaron, I cannot believe you just said that. I so want a conversation with him when I get to heaven. That's so funny to me. But that was God's tool. Was one of the things that, he was a person, but it was one of the things God gave Moses was Aaron and his father-in-law and the people around him, the tribes. These are people who God put in Moses' place to help him. So who do we have in our lives? Maybe we don't want to listen from our father-in-laws or our mother-in-laws, but maybe we need to. Yes. Maybe we need to take a step back and go, I think I need to hear this truth, whether I want, whether I like what you're saying or not. Maybe I need to hear this truth. We maybe just have to reassess a little.
Yeah, that and the faith and the hope that comes with pressing into Jesus, pressing into the Lord, and asking the Holy Spirit for comfort and guidance through the hard things, not to avoid the hard things or to escape the hard things.
Yeah.
So I think I love where this has gone. And I think, you know, as we head to wrapping this up, I think I'd love to just touch on one thing that I think can sometimes happen after going through something like this or really believing in not being afraid of the hard things. But I think sometimes not being afraid of the hard things can be a pendulum swing to where then we kind of turn that almost into an idol, martyrdom into an idol. Like, I need to be suffering at all times if I am to be righteous.
Right.
And the greater degree of suffering I have, the more righteous I must be. Huh. In fact, I'm gonna have a little button made, and it's gonna say how much suffering I have, and I'm gonna wear it on my jacket, and I'm gonna talk about it on Facebook about all of my suffering, so that everyone knows just how righteous I am. So I guess I'd like to just kind of end with, how do we have the right balance? Because that's absolutely religion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I don't know what the other side is laziness or something, slothfulness. How do we have the right balance where we're suffering to the right degree because we're doing the hard things that God has set before us, but we're not making that suffering itself into an idol. Mm. Okay. How do we do that?
Yeah.
That's really good.
First Bobby, off, do you have an answer? Bobby's got an answer.
See, I'm driving it. I'm like, I got one. I know we have a short period of time. Bobby, please, I will defer to you.
You're awesome. I'm debating on whether to go back to you ladies first.
Okay, I'll go. See, I'll just take it, because I know we're in a short time frame. First off, emotionally healthy, that is majorly important, being emotionally healthy. Because we will die and we will be martyrs for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And we can easily step into being rescuers. Parents can do this so easily. They want to rescue their children from hardships. And that's not necessarily what the Lord may intend in that moment. And so, because he's the one who wants to reveal his nature to them and to grow.
I say make it harder.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully they listen to this. So, like, Dad, come on.
So I actually would recommend a book, and I recommend it to both men and women, although it's called Emotionally Healthy Woman. It is actually for both men and women, and it's by Pete Scazzaro and his wife, Jerry. And that book has a full chapter specifically for dying for all the wrong reasons, being a martyr. For all the wrong reasons, and how to stop being a martyr for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I've talked to intercessors and prophetic people who have massive vision, and then they sort of hit a wall at some point in their life. And I've talked to high-level business people, too, who are just running, and they hit the wall. And they've tried to have a healthy life. So they've tried not to run too much, but suddenly there comes this moment where, gosh, I've got to press through at an inordinate rate. It's not normal to me. It's something that I feel. I'm not sure if it's demonic. I'm not sure if it's the Lord. What do I do? And then I've talked to other intercessors who are just learning, and they feel like any warfare is the devil. Hmm. You know, here's what I mean by that. Or any struggle, I mean, is warfare. And they don't know how to choose between the things that the Lord is saying, I need you to fight through this, or the things that God is saying, don't give it 2 seconds.
Yeah.
This is not your battle.
Right.
And so I think that's where we have to be connected to the Lord. We need to ask the Lord, is this something I am to fight? Remember, Jesus's life was not taken from him. He went to the cross as an assignment. Nobody took his life. He was not a martyr for the wrong reasons. Nobody took it from him. So if I'm going to die to certain things, it's because God's told me to do that. If I'm going to go to the cross, it's because I've got a mandate to go to the cross. I'm not a victim. I'm not a self-inflicted martyr. Nobody gets to take me to the cross. The Father, Isaiah 54, 53, it pleased the Father to bruise him. The Father took him to the cross, not people. So that's the line for me. Nobody gets to take me to the cross. I do not give people power over my love or power over my cross. I go there as a mandate from the Lord. If he wants me to go there, then it is my pleasure to serve him that way. If he's not called me to, the devil or people do not have the power to take me there.
So, Bobby, that necessitates you purposefully thinking about that a lot and paying attention to it. Because you don't naturally do what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just an intentional life. And then so when I feel kickback or pushback or what I would call warfare, I have to quickly take inventory and go, is this you? Hmm. Is this the devil?
That's good.
Or is this man trying to take me to the cross? It's one of the three, I guarantee it.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, did you have something?
I have three things.
So Veronique has three things.
Know your why. Always, when I am in the middle of something that is so, so painful, I will always go back to why I started, the purpose behind why I started on the journey that I was on. Second is failure is actually a beautiful thing. Don't be afraid of failure. Failure is just the road that shows you what not to do on the path for finding the thing that works. And the last thing is to have an eternal perspective. Because right here, right now, it might be awful. But if you take your eyes off of the right here and the right now and you put it on the outside of time perspective, I think it could change your whole, I don't know the word, the strength that you have to finish the race. I think it could change everything for you.
Wow, it's so good, and I think it's a good reminder. I think it's difficult to remember this stuff in the hard stuff.
Totally. So that's why we need to talk about it when it's not difficult.
You got to talk about it when it's not difficult.
We've got to get this in us on the easy days, so
that's
in the hard days, It's what comes out.
Yeah, so if you're in the middle of a hard day, let this be an encouragement to you. And if you're in the middle of an easy season, then let this be a preparation call for you.
Yeah, good.
Because guess what? The hard things are coming if you're going to be in alignment with what God's wanting. what I've experienced is the things that are really worth doing are almost always hard. Mm-hmm. And if things are really easy, they're not always, but they're oftentimes really not even worth doing.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why it is that way, but it is seem to be that way.
Yeah. And they don't last long. Mm-hmm. If you find it so easy, easy come, easy go.
Totally.
It's the truth. Last thing I'll say to you just for encouragement, guys, is that if you have felt like giving up, don't take your hands off that plow. You go through it. And God will not have to apologize to you for the glory that comes on the other end of your struggle. He will more than make it up. Remember, God is the God of just scales. He will more than make up your struggle with the amount of glory. That's why Paul was able to say, I am convinced that my struggle is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. And then remember Jesus in John 11, where Lazarus was dead, and the ladies come to him out of sentiment, and he says to them, he's not dead, he's only sleeping. And what's going on there, and the Bible says that Jesus waited purposefully two more days. And if you feel like Jesus is waiting long after and you need him to appear, he is, if there seems to be a delay in the promises that he's given you at all, I promise you that his promise in John 11 was, I waited so that the glory of God could be revealed. He is not going to have to apologize to you for waiting either. God's got a plan. Keep your hand on the plow.
So good.
Yeah. Keep your hand on it. I love that. I love that. Well, we're about out of time. So again, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, I got to remind you to subscribe. Also, you definitely need to share this. We say that every time too, but please, please share this. And also please let us know what you think. You can contact us. You can go to Kingdom Learning and hit the contact button and let us know if you liked or didn't like, or you'd like to hear something different or whatever. Just communicate with us. We love hearing the feedback from you guys. So definitely do that. Definitely subscribe. Definitely share. And I feel like there's some people out there on both sides of that pendulum. Some people that have been using this as an excuse to not step into what God has for them. Mm. And I think there's also some people out there that have been purposely making things hard so that they can feel good about the sacrifices they make, which is also not kingdom. So I would love it, Veronique, if you just end for us and pray for those groups of people.
Absolutely. I thank you for your hand that refines. I thank you for your heart that pulls us into our destiny and that calls us to be exactly who you've designed us to be. And I ask, Father, right now, for those people who are really struggling in feeling like they're martyrs. And I just pray, Father, for eyes to see. I pray for revelation and wisdom to open their eyes and to pull back any scales of deception that they may have covering their eyes and their heart and their motives and their actions. And I just pray, Father, that you release them from anything that would hold them back to being the true them that you've created them to be, and on the same swing, on the same line for those people who are on the opposite. Do the same, Father. You work so powerfully and so mightily, exactly what we need in every moment. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you are a God who loves us beyond what we could ever know. And so I just speak into every heart who is perhaps feeling like they're overwhelmed, feeling like I'm the wrong person for the job, feeling like I'm done. I just speak into your heart eternal perspective in Jesus' name. I speak into your heart the deliverance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I call you up higher and I say, lock your eyes on the King of Kings. Open your heart to his word. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you in this place today, right here, right now, for the rest of your future, and be called up higher into walking into His perfect alignment for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.